Thank you. Right. Brotherly love in Christianity. We know that love is of God. We can read in the scriptures, love is of God. We learn what true love is in Christianity. That the Lord Jesus gave himself for us and he died for our sins. Scripture tells us, let us love one another. Let us love one another because God is of love. Everyone that loves has been begotten of God and knows God. Do you want to be known as those that have been begotten of God and knows God? We ought to then love one another. I love these two scriptures here. We've got here at the top, it says, God is love. And we learn that God has given his only begotten, his Son, propitiation for our sins. This is God the Father telling us that he loves us. And then we've got this here, down here, this second scripture. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. The standard of love, as I've loved you. This is Jesus saying here, that we ought to love one another as I have loved you. That you shall know that I'm disciples of mine. That you have love amongst yourselves. Christianity, it's crucial that we have love amongst one another. It's essence. It's God. It's God's nature. And we should desire to be like God in that respect. That we should have love amongst ourselves. So, found this good quote or sentence. Modern man likes to think love is blind. You love the person, you love your neighbour, you love whoever, regardless of what they do, regardless of what they're acting on. But divine love, with its clear vision, is not blind to the faults of the objects of love, but rather in full recognition of all that is contrary to itself. It sets to work to remove every blemish that, so that at length it can rest with satisfaction in its object. It's no good loving someone for the sake of just loving them. You want to improve them. You want to build them up. You want to make sure that there's no blemish in that person. And this is how we are to love one another. That we would see the faults, we recognise that we're all sinners, and that we would learn to help one another so that the object of love would be perfect. When you think of brotherly love, what do you think? You think family. Brotherly or sisterly love, you think of family. In Galatians it tells us, ye are all God's sons by faith in Christ Jesus. We are brought into this wonderful family in Christianity. Everyone is a member of that family. And then you get the thought of fellowship. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the uniting factor in this glorious family. And we are told that we need to, if there's any comfort in Christ, if any consolation of love, any fellowship, we need to be, fulfill my joy, that you may have the same, thinking the same thing, same love, joined in soul, thinking one thing. Let us not be a spirit of strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each esteeming the other as more excellent than themselves. That's a glorious thought, that we should not bicker with one another, but we should think of one another as more glorious, more wonderful, and build one another up in that aspect. This is in the mind of Jesus Christ as well. We are to be like him. So, how do we value one another? Do we realise that people sitting next door to you, onto your left and to your right, are brothers for whom Christ died? Does that really come to your heart? Do you really recognize that? That Jesus died for them? How does Jesus think of that person? How does Jesus consider that person? We are also too a part of the body of Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. Everyone that is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is a part of the body of Christ. So we need to work together, like how you've got two legs. There's no good taking one leg away and you can't really walk. Or you've got two hands, take one hand away, you can't really eat. We need to value one another. And this is really where brotherly love comes in, where we take consideration as to that person's feelings, that person's thoughts, building one another up, helping them. Do you also recognize when one member suffers? When one person's suffering, whether it's physical suffering, we know a few that are going through physical suffering at this time. Do we truly get affected by their suffering? Do we want to help? Do we want to go to them, attend them, help them, encourage them? And do you rejoice when others are rejoicing? You should feel happy and glorious when people are happy and found in union. No one hates their own body, but feeds and cares for their body, as Christ does the church. Recognize that Christ is the head of the church, head of the body. And so we should take authority from him. Let us not make our own thoughts and our own authority, but from Christ. So then how do we treat one another? Jesus Christ, as Christians, we should treat one another like he did. Selfless, meekness. The list. And there's more, of course. Think of the meekness that Jesus showed when he, in the woman in John 4, he just sat by the well. He didn't make much of himself as such. He just simply waited for her. Waited for her to come. Think of the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. How you just could say, neither do I condemn thee. Go in peace. Go and sin no more. This is how we should treat one another. With forgiveness. With patience. With love. Think of how Jesus gave himself. Gave himself for you and for me. So, let us not be bitterness, heat of passion, wrath, clamour, injurious language. The tongue is very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. You can insult people very, very quickly. We have to be very careful with what we say. But it can be for rejoicing and for blessing. Be merciful to your brother or sister. Mercy glories over judgment. It's building up. It's good that we're here, assembling ourselves together. Part of this brotherly love. I haven't got any pictures, I'm afraid, but I hope you can picture this. Joseph being rejected by his brothers. We can learn from this. We can see this picture. This is not what we should be doing. We should not be hating a brother or envying him or conspiring to put him to death. This is not what we should be doing. They sold him for profit. Joseph is a wonderful picture, type of the Lord Jesus Christ, how the Lord Jesus Christ was treated by man. But this is not what we want him to do. Now, after Joseph has been through all this, this hatred, being stripped of his vest, but cast in a pit, being sold for profit, after 20 years of ups and downs, he went up, through ups and downs in Egypt. Now, how do you think he responded? How do you think he responded to his brothers? Do you think he equally was evil towards them? Because they were evil towards him. But when he was made known, Joseph, come near to me. He desired his brothers to be brought near, brought in. Kissed the brethren and wept upon them. He wept upon them. He missed them. his heart. It came from the heart, the love that he had for his brothers. Wept upon them. Desired them to be just in communication. They would love to be united. And he was merciful. He showed mercy. This is how we need to be towards one another. We should be merciful towards one another. We should not render evil for evil, but we should render good. Even to those that were treating you as evilly. Maintain the impoverished. Let brotherly love continue. It's not temperament, like a short period of time. It's not Tuesdays and Wednesdays only, but it's continual. Let brotherly love continue. In heaven, well, while we're here, we've got three things. We've got faith, we've got love, and we've got hope. In heaven, we'll have love. Because faith will turn to sight, and hope turn to reality. And love will remain. I love the hymn that speaks as to sphere full of love and praise. That's what heaven will be like, full of love. So let brotherly love continue. And these are just some small attributes of love. Just hope that just these scriptures would just remind you of what we should be doing. Building one another up, encouraging one another. And yeah, I've got some questions.